Today for our scripture reading, he's reading out of the NIV, James 5, verses 12 through 18. And I just want to mention before I get started here that I will be reading the prayer of faith, most of it, everything except for two verses. So here we go. Above all, my brothers and sisters, do not swear, not by heaven or by earth or by anything else. All you need to say is a simple yes or no. Otherwise, you will be condemned. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. And he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. The word of God to the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Who's got the... No, the... Tom, would you go back to the first verse of that song that Melody sang? I keep fighting voices in my mind. They say I'm not enough. Where do we think those voices come from? Every single lie that tells me I'll never measure up. That's not God speaking to us. That's Satan speaking to us. God speaks to us through our spirit. Satan speaks to us through our mind because he can control our mind. I'm going to share some things today about healing. And as I said earlier, I'm sure that there might be one person in here that might disagree with me. And I respect everybody's opinion. But bear with me and let's listen to the whole thing before you might find something to disagree with. In Genesis, it talks about, in the beginning, God created. God created the birds, and he said it was good. He created the sea when he separated it, and land was there, and he looked at it, and he said, and it's good. He looked at the vegetation after he had created it, and said, it is good. And he looked at man after he created man and he said, blessed. He didn't say he was good. He said he was blessed. Something different than what any other element of creation was. And so if he didn't think that we were blessed, I have to ask the question. Did he intend for us to be sick if he said man was blessed? Did he intend for us to live in poverty if man was blessed? Did he intend for us to have healthy and obedient children if we were blessed? Did he intend for us to have great marriages and relationships if we were not blessed? These are all things that came out of blessings. Would he have given us the capacity to love, to show mercy, to be graceful, if we were not blessed? Everything that he did in our lives in that creation process was intended to be perfect. Everything, no matter what it was. But my question would become that if in that creation, and he said that we were to be blessed, and when he created Adam, he said blessed. Nothing personal, ladies, but he didn't say blessed after he created Eve. But I'm sure that was his intention. And it's my contention that he's not changed. But it is my contention that we have gotten away from what he has for us. And we no longer accept what he said in Exodus, that I will not bring these diseases on you. And disease can be a lot of things. It can be more than sickness. It can be a bad relationship. It can be poverty, it can be need, it can be anything, it can be a disease in your life. But the basis for what I'm telling you and what we read in that verse of the song was that those lies that are in our head are from Satan. And when Satan rebelled against God because he was prideful and he wanted to do something, he wanted to be equal with God and take a third of the angels with him, that's where we end up with Satan and with the demonic spirits that are in the world today. And so when we choose to disobey God as a Christian, it doesn't mean we're not going to heaven. It just means that we're not living in the fullness of what he had for us as part of being that blessed life that he has given us. John 10:10 refers to this exact same thing. He says, "The thief comes only in order to steal and kill and destroy. But Jesus said, I came that they may have and enjoy life and have it in full abundance." What abundance means in that phrase there is till it overflows. Not just till the cup's full, but till it overflows. That's abundance. So it's God's intention, I believe, for everyone to be whole in all areas of their life. It doesn't make any difference which aspect of it we're talking about. And while Jesus was on the earth, he forgave sin after sin after sin. We can read about it in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and we can see accounts of all the people that he forgave. God even used miracles to support what Jesus was doing on the earth. And Jesus even said this. He said, "I assure you and most solemnly say to you, anyone who believes in me as Savior will also do the things that I do." What did he do? He healed the sick. Tim just read that we confess our sins one to another. Even greater things, he says, and he will do even greater things than these. You and me will do greater things than Jesus did. And greater things than these, and these mean in extent and outreach. Why? Because I'm going to the Father. And he's interceding for what we're doing on this earth right this very moment, sitting at the right hand of God. And you may find this alarming, but it's not up to God who gets healed. It's not up to God who prospers. It's not up to God who has a wonderful working environment. Not up to God who has a great marriage. It's not up to God who has great children. Because he said that anyone who believes in me will what? do greater works than he did. And so God is saying to each and every one of us in here, it's up to you. It's up to me. It's up to us. Some theologians, and we talked touched a little bit on this in class this morning, will tell you that God controls everything and allows things to happen and allows everything. And Satan has everything to do with all the bad things that go on because God allows it. I believe that a lot of bad stuff goes on because we allow it. If we're going to do greater things than what he said, we do it based off of the authority that he has given us. And I know that sometimes is, you know, a little tough to grasp. And you sit there and think, wow, where's God in this? God's the source. But he's not walking on this earth talking to people. He's not walking on this earth confessing his sin to one another. And so when we get, I think when we can wrap our spirit around what he wants us to do, it will totally revolutionize our lives. And I know as we think about this thing, God's forgiveness is not automatic. He didn't make a decision to forgive Bud. Bud made a decision to seek God. So it's not automatic. He just doesn't get up in the morning and think, I think I'll forgive Tim today. It's Tim's day. It doesn't work that way. He didn't get up, you know, Friday morning and, you know, and said, okay, today's your day, Leroy. It's automatic with you today on August the 18th, 2018. It doesn't work that way. We seek him out, and God wants everyone to be forgiven, but we have to ask. I believe he wants everyone whole and healthy. I believe he wants everybody to have a great marriage, a great relationship. But we have to speak those things. And like Judy was saying today about Bud, that's the type of thing that he wants us to speak. Not just think it, but speak it. Every stripe that Jesus needed to take for our healing, he's already taken. There are no more stripes for him to take. Everything that he has done, he has done. And I don't believe, as I said earlier, it's his desire for anybody to be sick. I don't think it's his desire for anyone to be in poverty. I don't think it's in his, you know, in his will for anyone to be beaten down or abused by someone. I don't think it's his goal, his idea for anybody to be in a miserable job that they don't like. That's not what God's all about. He said, I wish above all things that you be in health and prospers as your soul prospers. It goes back to believing and being part of that belief. I believe God said to us, you do the work. And that's a little tough for some of us because we think, man, that's a little radical. He wants me to go out and speak to people about healing and speak to people about health and talk to people that are in poverty and say, you need to be out of poverty. We had a dinner with a couple friends last night and we were talking about the people down, the homeless people. And how they're saying that there's not enough affordable housing in Cincinnati. There's enough affordable housing if you're willing to work. Now, there's not enough if you want to just wait and get the government check. There's enough of everything if we want to follow the rules. And these are the rules that God laid out. I mean, I realize some things are radical, but Jesus was a radical individual. He turned the world upside down in about each and everything that he did. He said he'd never leave us or forsake us. So when we go to that person, or we speak to that person, or we speak to that mountain, we know that he's there with us. In Romans 4:17, it says, I have made you a father of many nations in the sight of him in whom he believed, that is God, who gives life to the dead, and calls into being that which does not exist. Now, as I mentioned last week, we all talk prophecy. Some people are completely healthy and say, I'm going to catch a cold. I'm catching a cold. Thank you. That's not mine. But I think we do that. And sometimes we do it unconsciously, and when we do, we got to stop and think, oh, Lord, I shouldn't have said that. Wipe that off the slate. Give me the eraser. That's not what I meant because I don't want it. That's a radical state. That's a radical thought when you stop and think about it. So I think we need, and Paul, I blame Paul for this, because he said this, but I think we need to start acting like what Paul said to the Romans, is see things not as they are. Don't see things as they exist. See them for what God has for us. Mark 11, 22 to 24, he says, and Jesus answering said to them, have God's faith. It's okay to have God's faith. There's nothing wrong with that, or he wouldn't have said it. Truly I say to you, whoever says to the mountain, be taken up and be put into the sea, and has no doubt in his heart, but has faith that what he says will come about, he will have his desire. For the reason I say to you, whatever you make a request for in my prayer, and have faith that it has been given to you, and you will have it. Now the problem is that promise is not for everyone, because everyone's not going to do it. Everyone's not going to say to the mountain in their life, like I'm going to pick on Bruce, like Bruce did, that cancer was a mountain in Bruce's life. But it was spoken to, and he was healed. And I know that that's bizarre, maybe. It is to the world. But he said, say to the mountain. And if we have to say it out loud, that's what he's saying. He's not saying, think about it. He's not saying it, say it under your breath in case somebody might hear me. And then I have to really go out on faith. That's not what he said. But what he's doing is saying. And I thought it was interesting, and I read this week, and I thought it was really good. It said, these verses, there are three sayings to one believing. Once you believe, you have to speak. 2 Corinthians makes it clear. It says, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore I have spoken. We also believe and therefore we speak. We believe before we speak. You don't have to have faith to see and believe. But we have to have faith to believe and to see. And so when he spoke, it came to pass. And I thought this was an interesting thing too, because it talks about salvation here. And the Greek makes clear the translation of the word salvation. It says, saved, healed, and made whole, spirit, soul, body, financially and socially. In every aspect, everything talks about wholeness, talks about complete restoration. So when we speak the word, we bring about God's power and his authority into it. But he's not going to automatically do things. He's called on us to speak his word. And I know what's radical, but Jesus was a radical. He healed people. He forgave people. He walked on water. Really? Yep. Said he did. He kicked people out of the synagogue. We're not kicking anybody out of here, but, you know, he did kick some people out of church. He turned water into wine. I looked at my notes this morning, and I had he turned water into bread, and I thought, no, that's the wrong thing. It's a good thing I looked at it. But God wants us to be him on this earth. We are not him, but he wants us to serve as him on this earth. Folks, that's radical. I understand that. But that's what he said. And so he wants us to do his will, to do his work. And so I know the offering's next, but the offering's going to wait. I just feel like we ought to do this now. There are some people that I'll put Sandy and Leroy on the spot. We talked last Sunday. Come on up.